Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. If it's not on mainstream, then it's on BBS Radio. So nice to have you here on the 29th of May, or if you're on the East Coast, it's already the 30th of May, and I go through this every show, but we must let people know, because if you're looking at your calendar, or you're looking at a digital clock on the East Coast, it is the 30th. So we want to be specific. I've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of things going on. Want to thank all the people who have been sending me email and praying for fellow talk show host Michael Herzog, who has been on the show recently as a guest, as well as a surprise guest, based upon the abduction by Homeland Security of his stepdaughter, Megan. Megan is currently sitting in a prison in Florence, Arizona, some 75 miles from her hometown of Phoenix. And obviously, there's no reason. This is totally in violation of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is like any other law in this country. That it is backed by some sort of civil right or one of the amendments to the Constitution. And the criminal cabal in Washington and their network of thugs in the Justice Department are just trying to rake in some dough. But the Patriot Movement has moved and taken Michael's side and has come to Michael's aid, and we are finding out some really mind-blowing things about what's going on in that jail alone, let alone the fact that the only reason 19-year-old Megan has been arrested is because they're trying to silence a talk show host who's involved in bringing out the truth. That's what Evident Footprints is about. And that's what we're going to do tonight. With that, so I can open a discussion with tonight's guest. He is a health consultant, a health scientist, actually. He's an herbalist, a historian, and he is also a great musician. My good friend, who has been on this show many, many times, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you this evening?
Good morning, Don. Doing well, and yourself?
Good. I'm saying this evening for the folks on the West Coast, but yeah, it's good morning. It's for most of us across the country now, I think it's almost good morning, right? Anyway, well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Thank you, sir.
I know you've been keeping pace with what's going on in Michael Herzog's world these days. And for those new listeners out there, he's got a show on Republic Broadcasting Network that airs from 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time. That RBN is in Round Rock, Texas. So we are basically, you know, honoring their time zone. Eastern, it's 3 o'clock, and on the West Coast, it's 12 noon, 5 days a week. And I have been a guest many, many times on that show. In fact, this past Tuesday, I was a guest sharing some of my research. I know you heard that show, and it was revealed on that day what was going on with this abduction through the INS. You're talking about a girl that came here as a teenager. Michael married her mother, and so she's Michael's stepdaughter. And because Michael has been broadcasting the truth and bringing many, many people qualified to talk about the corruption in the government, they targeted him, singled him out, And these are the tactics they use to silence people or to try to intimidate them. But
absolutely, and this is a clear example of that. You couldn't ask for a more stereotype of a maneuver than intimidation against an individual. Michael Herzog, who has a great radio show, and he's like you, Don, exposing the truth on every show and doing it very well, and clearly annoying these controllers that are bent on this globalism, United Nations One World Government agenda. And because it's clear that his daughter was actually kidnapped by Homeland Security. I mean, that's outrageous. Are we living in Nazi Germany or Communist Russia or China all of a sudden? I mean, overnight, did we wake up in that country? Because those are the tactics that are done in those countries.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Michael, I want to point out, I'm getting a little bit of a breakup in your signal. I don't know if it's a loose connection or...
okay, Donna, hopefully...
audio driver or something like that.
I'm getting a little bit of that on your feed as well, Don. It must be over the Skype itself.
Okay. Well, we'll try to tolerate it. Hopefully it'll go away. Let's just will it away.
Sure.
Yes, it's quite obvious. Now, I mentioned my research, and you know, there's a lot of people have been to my website, directlightproductions.com, to read the article that was published in the Idaho Observer in the middle of the month. So it's been out for not quite 2 weeks and gotten a lot of activity, a lot of people reading it. And I know other people are around the world are posting it on websites. So the truth is coming out. Whether they like it or not, the truth is going to prevail.
That is the future.
And as you know, it's quite an extensive bit of research, and we just published the first half on John McCain's background, and I wanted your impression. You got to hear at least part of the interview that I did with Michael, and that was a 2-hour interview.
Yes, it was great.
And I mean, he was chomping at the bit for me to sort of move on beyond that, but really it took the 2 hours to discuss.
To expose all the details of the web of lies that you discovered and connecting all those dots so everybody could fully appreciate the rest of the story when you get to that.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, you know, to put that together. And what gets me is I listen now to the media and I mean, everything's a lie. Everything that you hear is an absolute lie.
That's the truth.
And it, you know, I can't stand listening to it. Yeah. I really can't.
It's nauseating.
Yeah. It's so blatantly evident that, let's take, for example, let's shift gears just for a moment. You know, there's this big story about former, White House Press Secretary Scott McClelland, who quit right before Tony Snow took over. And
yes,
don't you find it interesting? Tony Snow quit, but they had to drum up a story about his health. Now, maybe his health was bad. Don't get me wrong. You know, and I don't wish him...
sure, but he did quit, huh?
Ill will, but yeah, he quit too.
He resigned.
So we've had two or three press secretaries. We've had several secretaries of state. We had several heads of the CIA and the FBI and everything the same in the banking sector, the Treasury and the World Bank, and it's quite obvious what's going on here. But the main average American can't grasp any of this because they're oblivious to it. Number one, they don't really follow these things.
How can they follow these things if they're watching the boob tube or the mainstream radio set, which is all controlled by Rockefellers and the controlling families, the cartel? And so that's why they don't have a clue about any of this, because they're plugged in to the matrix, as you would say. rather than plug it into reality so they could come across great articles like the ones that you publish.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. It's just when you come to a realization and you arrive at the truth, and they're still spinning this garbage. I mean, I wouldn't even flush this stuff down my toilet. If they brought it over in a bucket, I would be afraid to clog up my sewage system.
When any of us that are all into this, you know, patriot movement, as they're calling it, but it's just everybody really just wanting to live like honest, real Americans under constitutional republic and live the best Christian lives that we possibly can. And that's all we want. And everybody clearly understanding this is what we're up against. And when we would ever watch the mainstream TV or radio, right, we'll laugh, we'll want to throw it out the window or kick it or something, because we know they're blatantly lying to our face, right, every time on every channel. And it's really pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But Don, like you said earlier, it's the future. They can't, their lie will always constantly be exposed more and more, I believe, from here on out, as the truth will constantly now amplify itself. And everybody that's still in the dark and oblivious to the truth will start to acknowledge it, because they won't be able to avoid it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just hope that it happens in a very speedily manner, so that we can get to our destination without much conflict.
Yeah. You know, there are just so many things being revealed to us in real time. And you know, I give thanks for many of the other researchers out there that are doing things. What I'm finding now, on the basis of all the research I've done to complete this series, even though we're meeting it out in segments to the public because of space issues, you know, in the newspaper, what I'm finding is that as I'm doing further research just to discover more facts, what I'm finding is that there are some out there that are already, I'm not saying they're jumping on the bandwagon, but this is follow-up research after the article is written that is supporting what I'm saying. There are some tidbits of information that are coming out in a, you know, as
yes,
supporting morsels of information that directly tie in to,
sure,
to the research. Now, it's going back to Michael Herzog's issue, when I know that the history is a lie, and then you get a feel for what they do automatically. You understand, well, if they lied to us 100 years ago or 150 years ago, then they haven't stopped lying. They're still lying,
right,
but now
that's
they're getting
right,
caught in their lies, not just the old ones, but now we have the spiritual sight to see the new lies, to discern that we're just being fed more lies. What else can you call them?
That's right. And the web of lies that they have been weaving over all these years is finally going to trap themselves, finally.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that. Now, you know, Michael Herzog talked about Megan's stay in this prison. She's only been in there for a few days. I guess she was arrested on Tuesday. So,
yes,
you know, basically, you know, she's going on her fourth day. She's going into the fourth day now of this
ordeal.
Yeah. And she's talked to some of the other prisoners where she is. Most of those she's with are there under some immigration violation.
Okay.
But they're all the same types of violations. One woman has been there fighting. Now, legally, she's fighting. In other words,
yeah,
her husband is paying an attorney, and she's been there 3 years.
3 years, my God. Oh,
three,
my God.
3 years, okay? Another case he related was that a girl that they took in, in a similar situation as I believe this girl was a Mexican girl, mm-hmm. and I'm not in a position to pass judgment one way or another if she was here legally or not. But for whatever reason, she was pregnant when she went in. She carried the baby to term, and from the moment she went into contractions, they secretly shipped her to a hospital, took the baby from her, and deported her. Now, what do you think happened to that baby?
Oh, God.
This is what is going on. Now, Michael...
This is how dark it is, Don.
That's what he said. Demonic.
It's demonic activity from soulless beings, and may the light of God expose them more and more so we can get our hands on these SOBs, start hanging them, because I can't tolerate that. I have no tolerance for any behavior like that. If we had that kind of activity around here in the neighborhood, you'd lynch those people right up for treating people that way.
Mm-hmm. And now the family, you know, Michael and Megan's mother, Lindsay, by the way, they're originally from Scotland. And I listened to Lindsay last night on Mike Chambers' show, The Midnight Rider, and she described coming to the United States annually for her vacation for 32 years before she decided to marry Michael, and she's been here for some 4 years or longer.
Yes, and they did get the proper paperwork when they immigrated over.
Oh, and they paid thousands of dollars.
Rather migrated over.
Yes, they paid thousands of dollars into the system for the authorization to stay here, despite the fact that she's married.
But it was all approved, and so now all of a sudden, what happened? It's clearly because of Michael Herzog's show. And they're trying to intimidate him, and also, of course, cause the deep emotional pain that they're bringing upon the whole family by subjecting the poor girl
mm-hmm.
to this outrageous, torturous type of behavior.
Now, I recall what came to my mind as I was saying that was something that I read about, it seemed like it was around 1978 or 1979. I may be off a year or two, but I was in Europe at that time, and I was reading either Time Magazine or Newsweek. I think it was Time Magazine, and they had this big story about the Reverend Sun Myung Moon in New York marrying 3,000 couples, where he picked out the couples. He picked out the people to be married. 3,000 couples were married in one ceremony. And you know those people were brought in illegally. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, and these things just happen, and no one questions them, the legality of it.
We've got illegals walking all around us, but they're okay. Only Michael Herzog's daughter, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hypocritical, contradictory of law, and in its application, and it's just incredible.
And they claim every time she's had some hearing, you know, and it's harassment and intimidation, you know, because they're questioning her about his associations.
Yes.
He's a talk show host. He knows people all over the world.
Of course.
Okay.
Why don't they approach Michael, Don? Why don't they just approach Michael with these questions rather than his young girl who's just 19 years old? What does she know regarding all this stuff? She's just a young kid. Leave her alone, you bunch of goons. You bunch of Nazi scum.
Well,
leave a young little girl alone.
You see,
why don't you pick on a man?
That's the corruption, you see. You know, because they're not forking over the money anymore.
They want him in the system, and they're going to milk him. Don, what it sounds like they're going to put Michael through is exactly what I hear from friends when they go through divorce. It's not over yet. 3 years later, you're still going through it. Sure, the lawyers are in bed together. acting like they're representing you. It's all a facade. It's all acting. It's all a joke. They're raping you, and they got you trapped in their system, and there's nothing you can do once they got you.
And you know that everybody down the line is getting a piece of the action because these attorneys or...
Judge.
The judges, the attorneys, the bailiffs, you know, everybody.
It's a racket.
And that's all it is. It's organized
another
crime.
Racket.
You know, it's organized crime. And then, you know, now when you look at what's going on, we supposedly have all these laws that are supposed to stop, this corruption from happening. First of all, the people have to adhere to what 23 million laws. We have to know what these 23 million laws are. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Come on.
And they don't even adhere to and enforce the most important ones that protect us and our interests. They don't even enforce them, but they'll harass us for all these little code violations because technically, Don, those laws are technically really codes because the real laws are the only laws in the Constitution. Those are the actual laws. And they don't enforce any of them for us, these traitors.
Well, that it's obvious. Now, parallel to all this is more information about 9/11 coming out. Law enforcement now is speaking up about 9/11, and there are paper trails being discovered regarding 9/11. And then I listened to a speech of Newt Gingrich this evening. It was from last month, something that aired on C-SPAN. Anyone that wants to hear this, you can go to RogueGovernment.com or go to the C-SPAN website and just search Newt Gingrich. He made a speech at a Long Island bookstore and made the comment that Bush, and I'm paraphrasing this, President Bush should have allowed one or two more terrorist acts to occur on American soil. So that we don't forget about, you know, the danger of terrorism.
Yes, we need a constant reminder.
The sick Nazi minds. Now, this guy was thrown out of Congress. He was the Speaker of the House, caught, but conveniently, exculpated from his charges of stealing from a political action group that he had formed, or they call them PACs, Political Action Committee. And, misappropriation of the funds. Well, evidently he wasn't playing ball and doing what somebody wanted him to do, so they got rid of him and they brought up that charge. But he gets charge. And
that was right around the time where he was attempting to enforce the contract for America that they pledged us if we could only elect Republicans into Congress, and it did happen. That's when they went after him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's just one game after another.
You got to play ball, otherwise they'll try to ruin you. And playing ball for them is allowing their racketeering to continue like it's not happening. And also pursue the global UN One World Government agenda. Make sure that stays on track. As long as you play ball with them, then they leave you alone. But if you start to really make some waves, well, they're very afraid of that. They got to come after you. And they'll do it. They'll do it by going after the little girls and harassing little kids. These coward Nazi commies they are.
Yes. Now that brings us to another topic. This is a recent revelation starting around the 26th of May. So we're talking roughly 3 nights ago. Christopher Story in England, publisher of World Reports, the International Currency Review, many other financial publications, came out with some details about the racketeering enterprise going on at the CIA and the Pentagon. It's a very, very interesting piece, very long piece, in fact, very detailed about the Halliburton having its own private office in the CIA with some 40 employees, being paid by the taxpayers, by the way.
That's amazing.
And at the Pentagon. Halliburton has offices at the Pentagon, too.
That's just incredible. And that is true. That is outrageous.
Now, this was in a sealed letter given to Henry Waxman, Congressman Waxman from California. I guess he's the head of the Oversight Committee, something to do with the GAO, the General Accounting Office. And they're describing in this document things like 500 computers bought from a Japanese company, a computer that's got camera capability to view the documents on one's desk. Now, we're not talking about the desktop of the computer. We're talking about your desk where the computer is sitting. Mm-hmm. Can read the papers on that, read wow. the things on the walls. The computer can be turned on remotely, can turn on itself.
Sounds like it.
It's got back doors built into it. And they were selling these at the White House. Bush and Cheney were selling them and literally pocketing the cash. One guy...
Jeez.
This guy who filed this report, this affidavit with Waxman, describes seeing Bush take the money, $50,000 in $100 bills. He holds on to it for a moment, looks at it, and then hands it over to Cheney. Cheney puts it in his pants pocket. I mean,
this
is street gutter level type of racketeering.
That is punk activity right there.
Now, there was another very detailed. This is very detailed, and it really makes sense. It's very credible.
Let me ask you this. Hold your thought on that. But if they're setting up that kind of equipment in all the government offices, who doing the actual espionage there? Foreign agents, huh?
All right, yeah, I would say probably Israel, MI6.
Uh-huh, there you
right?
go.
Mm-hmm. And KGB, even though they say, well, you know, the KGB doesn't exist anymore, whatever you want to call it, the GRC.
Sure, and Israel, and getting back to what you said about Newt Gingrich with, you know, we should have a terrorist attack every so often just so we keep it fresh in our minds, and that's exactly the way the Israelis live.
Mm-hmm.
With a constant terrorist attack, so their people are always in a constant state of fear. And well, is that all coincidence?
Yeah.
It sure is.
Yeah. So another issue discussed in this article by Christopher Story, and anybody can go to worldreports.org and click on the article posted at the top of that page, on the home page. And it's some good reading, let me tell you. But it's sad when you read some of what occurred. Now, another thing,
it's disgusting.
Their operatives stole 1,000 toasters from a company that manufactures these toasters in Indiana. The toasters are valued at retail $19.95. We're talking $19.95. They sold them to the Pentagon for $1,891 each.
That was a discount, you know.
And when someone discovered this, and it was the guy doing this report, when he did the research on this and discovered what was going on, he asked, "What is so special about these toasters?" And they were told, he was told, that they have titanium. This is for the battlefield. These are battlefield toasters. I guess you can just plug them into any camel dung.
I wish they would give our troops some gear that was more bulletproof and rocket proof rather than a toaster that's bulletproof.
it's amazing. Now, this was reported. that was reported to Rumsfeld, and there were many, many other examples of this corruption going on. Now, the article shifts to a very, very sadistic tone at one point, and even before you read it, Christopher Story is saying, you know, this may offend some readers. This is very graphic, what I'm about to describe, but it must be told. And he has been reporting for the past couple of years that they're finding dead bodies around different parts of the world, people associated with these banking scandals, you know, if you want to use WantaGate, it's multi-leveled. It has a lot to do with computer fraud and embezzlement and people taking off with money and it's spilling the beans. And he reports 168 deaths related, people related somehow to the CIA, either agents or their family members, including a young girl, a six-year-old boy, and the method used to eliminate these people is rather sadistic, where he describes how their skin was peeled off of their body while they were alive. You want to talk about depravity and demons.
To torture kids is the ultimate evil. These are demons, unquestionably, Don.
So when you hear stories like this, it's no surprise that a talk show host is going through something, in his personal family, because they just feel they're above the law. They can do whatever they choose, and there's no recourse.
That's absolutely right. That's their attitude. They're above the law, and they control the law, so if anyone were to go after them, well, they won't get too far.
Well, that's not what this show is about, and thank God there are other shows that are revealing these truths, too.
That's right. Thank God for all this great enlightenment coming out of these independent networks, because for speaking for myself, who I was up on the New World Order back in the 70s, so trying to find somebody that I could talk to about it, everybody thought I was crazy for the longest time. Thank God today there's an abundance of this kind of talk, which clearly shows, just like you said at the beginning of the show, the truth is coming around, its day is coming, it is the future, they cannot stop it, they will be exposed for all their lies, all lies everywhere, everything will be exposed for what it is, and let's hope that comes quick, because it can't go on too much longer with these racketeers running our government and running our country into the ground.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention the international implications. Of course, they don't care about that because they've got their foothold in other countries. They've shifted their corporations outside the boundaries of the law. You know, good riddance. If they want to flee and take off somewhere else, go.
You know what I say, Don? You're right. I agree with that 100%. And you know what I say? We follow up with, let's seize their property that's here on our land and repatriatize the corporations and rehire all the employees that were laid off, put them back to work under a new name that's American, and start them over again and just tell them, here's your business. Make sure you get it up and running, because it's up to you to make it fly. We're giving your jobs back. Get this enterprise going. And let's start doing everything for the United States of America. Let's start thinking long term for the benefit of the United States of America in all of our activities. That's what I'd love to see. If I was president, I wouldn't waste one day telling IBM and every major corporation, get the heck out of here now and seize all their property, get their employees going, bring everything back, all the management, everything, and tell them, make it fly, let's go, and get this country back on track to being the leader it's supposed to be with technology and also quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that we also want to talk about some things that we have been talking about, and possibly we can segue a bit because we've been jumping around a little bit, and I mentioned this McCain article, and for the listening audience who hasn't read the article and is unfamiliar with the general story, you know, if we look at just who John McCain is, and this is the candidate that they have served us on a platter, basically, telling us this is, if you're a Republican, this is the person you have to vote for, even though Ron Paul is running. The media has just been totally complicit in the absolute cover-up and the whitewashing of who is running for the presidency. And they've got these three characters who I've labeled the Three Stooges. And coincidentally, Jeff Rentz has done the same thing, and David Deese, the artist. So
I think that's great, because I think that's the most appropriate labeling for these three clowns running for our presidency.
The issue on McCain, and we'll discuss just what I published for now so that we don't preempt, you know, the publication of the follow-up research. But, you know, we have this story that he was born at Coco Solo Naval Base in Panama, in the Canal Zone. Okay. On the surface, let's say that that's accurate. At least that's the story, so we have to start from there.
Right.
And his father and his grandfather were both made admirals. Now, they refer constantly to his grandfather as Admiral McCain, but we should point out the fact that his admiralty, his four-star admiralty, occurred posthumously after he died. He was a rear admiral prior to that, and it's not the same as a four-star general. So this creation of this war hero, and we're supposed to buy into war, and again, that's the reinforcement of the terrorism, and it's to remind us of being a prisoner of war in Vietnam and all, you know, all of this. We won't really discuss all that in detail now.
It is the hero aspect that they're trying to sell the public.
Yes, and they leave a lot of the facts out. They don't tell us all the juicy details.
It's now, all a big lie, Don.
Now, when I looked at the genealogy and the way it was described, here's all these generations of these Mississippi slave owners, plantation owners, 2,000-acre plantation in Mississippi, and going back, you know, to all the way to George Washington. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, according to the official story. Well, so I'm looking at this, and it's just, I'm sorry. I didn't even have my discernment on overdrive. You know, it was like, I need a cup of coffee first to start really discerning this. And I did. I made myself a cup of coffee. I'm sipping on a cup of coffee, and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, this is phony. This cannot be. You know, all three are named John Sidney McCain. You have senior, junior, and the third. The third is the senator from Arizona running for the presidency. Or is he the third from the Panama Canal Zone? Okay.
Right.
I mean, let's, you know, Arizona sounds good, but that wasn't the first place he lived.
That's right.
He did live in Florida, but he would have been stepping on Jeb Bush's toes.
Technically, he doesn't qualify to run for president because he was not born within the United States.
Absolutely. That land was leased. Okay. And I know, I know this. I'm stating this as fact. Okay.
Right. That's right there is already a major violation of our law.
Yes. Okay. So he's not qualified to run as a president because he was not born on United States territory, on United States owned land, sovereign territory.
That's right.
Okay. Now, if that were the case, why do we not have the Panama Canal now? It was because it was leased. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Chinese have it now. Okay, so. So I go down the rabbit hole and I begin looking for McCain Sr.'s birth records. And all I can find is Carroll County, Mississippi. And they give the year 1884. And then here there's a biography. All of a sudden there's a birth date. But none of the official records, the official genealogy sites, the official genealogy information indicates anything substantial about what day the man was born. They could just come up with this date and this year, and we're just supposed to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. So I start going through the published genealogy, and his father is John McCain. Now I'm saying to myself, how come he's not John Sidney McCain? How come he's not John McCain Sr.? Because he's the first John McCain. We're talking now about the great-grandfather. And then you go back another generation, and it's William Alexander McCain. And you go back another one, and it's Benjamin Franklin McCain. And it goes to, incredibly, it goes to Alexander Hamilton McCain. Tell me that this isn't just a put-up job. I mean, I've seen more integrity on the screen of a Pac-Man game.
I mean, that's getting pretty shabby with some storytelling, isn't it?
Okay. And coincidentally, Alexander Hamilton, who was the first Secretary of the U.S. Treasury under George Washington, couldn't prove his birth date. And so they kind of gave him 1757 because he was 13 when he came here. So even he wasn't an American. And they put him in charge of the Treasury. Guess where he was from? The West Indies. Okay? Now, that was British territory. So sure. There's this ring there. What is this about Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Hamilton? You have all these Masons who are named, okay? Yes. All the people into Freemasonry. I found that quite interesting.
Well, yeah, you have that connection, but clearly the connection to major lineage of founding fathers. I mean, who better can we have as a president or a contender for presidency than somebody all the way back, coming back with the family line connected to Ben Franklin or Alexander Hamilton? They're selling that line pretty much, Don.
Yeah, and, that's obvious.
That's it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, okay. Now, what's interesting is, and I'm going to make a tie back to this. I'll try to speed this up a little bit. I started looking at shipping records, and I found, and that's what I did on the Bush family. That's how I uncovered the trail. And I did on the Federal Reserve bankers, the same lies.
It's all lies.
With INS agents. It's just like Michael Herzog's case, but in this case, these people are lying, and they're allowed to go open these big banks in New York City.
It's just incredible. It is. It's just incredible. If the Americans only knew the amount of deception, they should be overnight out in the streets hanging every one of these good-for-nothing.
Not to mention that they were permitted to set up the Federal Reserve.
Hello?
You know, a foreign corporation.
And the ultimate power that can rule a country, the control of the money supply.
So I started researching, and I found John Sidney McCain came into the country in 1924 on a ship. But he was on the crew of the ship. He was working on this ship. So that means he's moving around, okay? If I can find him on another shipping cruise list, he's working on ships. Mm-hmm. Now I look at the picture of this so-called Admiral McCain, and I say so-called because they're calling him one, even though he wasn't a full admiral during his career. And I'm looking at the picture of an 80-year-old man. I mean, I'm pretty good at guessing people's age. And when I see a picture of an 80-year-old man, you know, what is it? If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Absolutely.
Okay. He had every appearance of an 80-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Just, is it a coincidence that in now researching him and anything I can get my hands on about, written about him, I come across a naval historian by the name of E.B. Potter that himself remarked that he looked at least, his words, at least 10 years older than his stated age. Okay. Now, he supposedly died at 61, and I'm looking at a picture that if he was 61, he looks 80. That picture might have been taken when he was 60 or 59 or 55, and he looked 80. Do you understand?
Sure.
Okay. So I know there's an anomaly with the published, proclaimed birth date.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I was convinced. My discernment, by now the coffee that I had mentioned a few minutes ago was kicking in, okay? And I'm awake, and I'm saying, what do I have here? Okay, so I find now on the shipping the passenger manifest, I find he quotes his age at 59. Well, in 1924, a man 59 years old would have been born in 1865, period.
Right.
If he's telling the truth about his age.
That's right.
And I found other documents from other years where he's quoting his age, and he would be 65. But then I run into this. Now, I'm doing the genealogical research, looking through all these worldwide databases, and all I can find is this published story about John McCain Sr., and this 1884 birth date. And I'm saying, why is that? Why would they lie about his age? Well, lying about his age would probably lead you to who he is, right? If you can come up with his real birth date, you can probably come up with his name.
Yes, they don't want you to have an opportunity to get on the trail of their real history, because they're trying to sell the phony history to us, so we accept him as one of us, a real American patriot, a hero.
But in the process of trying to obscure who he really is, and taking into account their arrogance that this has to be documented.
It comes back to haunt you sooner or later.
It can be found, okay? With a little bit of intuition, it can be found. And those that listen to this network know that there are a lot of intuitives on, you know, that host shows on this network. And I'm not the only one. And although they may not be doing this kind of research, intuition works all kinds of ways.
Oh, it's a great faculty that everybody should start to get familiar with.
So I ran through a bunch of, I looked at hundreds of shipping manifests, and then finally I look at one in Seattle, and it shows me another name besides John McCain, and it said John McCann. And I thought, who is this John McCann?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the research, it took me to Renfrew, Scotland, and I immediately made a connection. Researching Renfrew, it's the seat of the Duke of Cornwall and the Duke of Rothesay and the Prince of Wales, and that would have been Albert Edward, who became King Edward VII. So, and I was amazed at how much he looks like McCain.
Wow.
Okay. And he was a philanderer. And guess what? At age 12, he was in the Navy too. He was in the Navy. And the town, Renfrew, is where they built the ships.
That's where all philanderers go.
Well, but I found historical documentation that he had affairs with famous actresses and stateswomen, or you know, the wives of statesmen, lords and humanitarians, and so, you know, the case was established. And then I found a birth record for John McCann. And by the way, his father's name was John McCann too. Just, you know, so they could muddy the water a little bit more.
Well, actually, they're consistent, at least in that manner.
Yeah. Now, guess what date John McCann was born? This can't be coincidence.
Same date.
1865.
Yep, as John McCain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The same date as the guy claiming his name is John McCain. John McCann was born 1865.
Right.
October the 6th.
That's interesting.
October the 6th. Okay. Now the hunt is for the mom. I use my discernment. My discernment said it had to be Lady Randolph Churchill. Why? why did Winston Churchill become Prime Minister of England? Is it possible that Winston Churchill was even fathered by the king? Well, I haven't done the research on that, but that's a possibility. But this guy,
one possibility.
This guy, you know, was dating anyone that winked at him twice.
Let alone the socialites.
And I, you know, it's for the listeners to read into the word dating, but it became very clear to me, just crystal clear. And then the trail got hot on John McCain. It went all the way back to 1892. As far as traveling on ships, guess what? John McCain was a sailor too.
Sure.
From now, he's lying about where he's from. He's American, he's British, he's Irish, and they the McCains called themselves Scotch. Now, as I know, I'm not much of a drinker, but I do know a little bit about the bar scene, and I know Scotch is a whiskey.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, and they're proclaiming they're Scotch. Okay, just total ignorance.
Can you be that? Can you just be that lame? You know, I mean, you think they would be smarter than that, Don, when they're trying to sell a big lie.
Now, what does this have to do with John McCain III? Well, we're showing you the genealogy here, folks. We're showing you that these people are not who they pretend to be.
Don, you just covered many discrepancies in their stories of their lineage, and at the same time showed the correlations where it proves that it looks like it's all, you know, they're the same people.
Now, how did they set up this genealogy? Let's just jump ahead real quickly here because we're running low on time. How would they set up this genealogy with the king? The king happened to come to the United States and Canada for a special visit. It had been one of the first ones ever by anyone from the royal family in the United States. And
sure, I mean, the Brits had been our enemy since the birth of this country.
And he came over in 1860, and he spent 3 days in the White House with our homosexual president, James Buchanan. Our homosexual president was also living with a congressman, a male congressman.
Yeah, that's so disgusting.
By the name of King at that time, and the whole of the Congress and the Senate knew about this relationship.
Sure.
So it was quite possible, and by the way, it's just a sidelight. Mississippi was a slave state, and Buchanan at the time, at this very time that the king was visiting, was promoting Kansas as the next slave state. He was seeking actively to make Kansas become one of the slave states.
Dirtbag.
So it's quite possible that they set the whole scam up at that time and just activated it, you know, when the time was appropriate. None of these people existed. I mean, did you ever hear of Alexander Hamilton McCain before? You ever hear that name in history?
It's hilarious.
Or Benjamin Franklin McCain? I mean, now, what's the significance?
I have heard of George Washington McCain, though.
Yeah. What's the significance of William Alexander McCain, do you think? Because that was early on in the line. That's John McCain. John McCain's father, the one that's the great grandfather, that's his great great grandfather. In other words, what would be the significance of the middle name Alexander? Do you think?
Well, the only one you can think of, Alexander Hamilton.
You would think, however, Prince Albert Edward, who became Edward VII, the king, married while he was a prince, while he was still Albert Edward, married Princess Alexandra of Denmark. And he borrowed her first name, used the male version of it as the middle name for William Alexander McCain. Simple. This is it's not a big mystery.
Well, you know, it's definitely very plausible there, Don. Oh. You know, for sure. But clearly all the other discrepancies seem very solid as far as establishing proof.
We will talk about this again
the
next
is a joke.
when the next article comes out, we'll talk about this again, and we'll revisit that, because you will see another piece of the puzzle that you're going to say, you were right.
Going deeper.
Okay. Now,
always does.
Now, so it's a direct implant into the U.S. Navy. This individual was part of the royal family. Now, are we supposed to bow down, you know, to these people because they're of royalty? It was a criminal enterprise. They inserted this guy into the Navy.
And, Don, that just fits in with the whole history of the United States the way I explain it, because Britain had been our arch enemy since the birth of this nation. War of 1812, they invaded us again. Civil War was basically designed by them to split the Union. They were back in the South ever since the birth of the country. And so they actually promised the South assistance, military assistance, which they would not do because at the time the North allied to Russia, and Russia had the largest navy in the world. They threatened the Brits that if they were to aid the South, the Russian Navy would come down and clean them out. And they would have. The Brits knew it. They were intimidated. So they didn't help the South, but they were behind the whole Civil War as well. So now they failed up to that Civil War in gaining control over our country, which they wanted so badly. Your discovery of the McCain lineage and their history starts right after the Civil War with the British finally getting a foothold in our establishment, into the military. And is a coincidence that just within 40 years later, by the turn of the century in the early 1900s, the Brits were becoming strong allies of ours all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's also coincidental, and really you and I both know there are no coincidences, at the time that this John McCain Sr. is supposedly graduated from the Naval Academy in 1906 and was appointed by Teddy Roosevelt to be part of the Great White Fleet, he's on these ships from England.
Right.
He's making these trips back and forth across the Atlantic and the Pacific. Mm-hmm. And even the Panama Canal Zone, even before. We were not down there in the Panama Canal Zone until 1919, officially. Yet, he's arriving on a ship from the Panama Canal Zone, even in 1919. Mr. and Mrs. McCann from New York. She goes by the name of Mrs. McCann. Have you ever in all your days seen anybody get into the country just by Mr. Johnson or Mrs. Johnson?
Sure.
It's ridiculous. And yet,
unless you've got the red carpet treatment.
Well, of course, someone had to have been bribed, right?
Of course.
To permit that to take place. So,
doors opened.
And he's married now in 1892, not in 1909, as is stated. They went to Colorado Springs and got married.
You see all those discrepancies. That's how you got them, Don. That's how you got them.
I've debunked every part of the official story. Every
just
part
like,
of it.
Yeah, it's so similar to, just like you said, the Bushes, everybody. It's just incredible. We are infiltrated with foreign agents. The good Lord showed me that a long time ago. Your revelations on McCain are just more of, and the Bush family, but I was a suspect of them a long time ago, knowing they were Nazis, but you exposed how they're actually German-born agents sent here and not born in the United States. And so, Don, you're just verifying and showing, revealing so much more light on the fact that our country is in the grips of foreign agents, and darn it, most of our American brothers and sisters don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, the mother, Jenny Jerome, who became Lady Randolph Church, she would have given birth to McCain out of wedlock definitely the prince couldn't afford the scandal, so he had to give him a different name. He gave him phony parents. He gave him three sets of parents, okay, in the same year. He gave him John McCann and Susan Brown. And I'm not reading any of this. This is how well ingrained in my mind this is. He gave him Peter McCann and Bridget. Bridget didn't have a last name. And he gave him Patrick McCann and Bridget Graves. All three John McCanns born in 1865. Okay?
Yeah. Clearly to muddy up the waters, for sure.
Okay, but...
What other purpose could that serve?
Yes, but my intuition told me that he was the father, and she was most likely the mother. Now, Jenny Jerome from New York City, okay, her stated age in her biographies would have her born in 1854. She would have been about 12 years old, or actually 11 years and 10 months old at the time she gave birth to John McCann. Not an impossibility, but I figured she was older than that, and I did uncover shipping records where she was traveling after she had already become Lady Randolph and married two subsequent times to two other men. She was calling herself, in 1896, she was calling herself 50 years old, and Jenny Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
From New York. She was proclaiming she was a citizen from New York and from Switzerland on other occasions and from France and from England, but always using the name Jenny Jerome, and the age always worked out that she would have been born in 1846, 5 years after Albert Edward, who was born in 1841. So she was 5 years younger than him, an appropriate age. There would be a physical attraction. And she was a beautiful woman. And she would have been 19 at the time she gave birth. That's much more plausible, and it makes sense. Now, who was her father? Okay, her father was a man by the name of Leonard Jerome, who was a wealthy, get this, financier.
Here you go.
Stockbroker. He was known as the King of Wall Street. He had interest in many companies and was especially interested in railways, the arts, and thoroughbred horse racing. One of his best friends and business associates was William K. Vanderbilt, who happened to have married Anne Harriman.
And we happen to have one of their big mansions right up here in Hyde Park.
Hmm.
Right next to FDR's estate.
Yes. Now, Anne Harriman is the daughter of railroad tycoon Oliver Harriman.
Mm-hmm.
Harriman brothers, the Brown brothers, Harriman, I should say, were part of the Bush scandal with the Nazis.
That Bush connection.
Yes. Now, what's the significance of this dukedom in Renfrew? Well, prior to that, Prince Albert, his father, Prince Albert, who was married to Queen Victoria, were originally from Saxe-Coburg, and Gotha, it would be pronounced in German. Americans or English-speaking people would say Gotha, in Germany. And they changed the family name from Battenberg to Mountbatten to anglicize it.
Right.
So here we have, oh, by the way, I should tell you that Jenny Jerome was of Jewish extraction. So I'm more accurate would probably be Zionist extraction.
More than likely.
Okay. So there you have the background now of McCain's grandfather. It's a total farce. It's a total charade. And it couldn't have happened. He couldn't have been in the Great White Fleet because he was traveling around on other ships and his name came up quite frequently. He didn't appear as John McCain until 1924. that name didn't appear anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the name John McCann, however, appeared all the way from 1892 up to 94 as far as shipping records. And there's one in 1919 coming from the Panama Canal right at the time when the base was opened up. And guess what? He was on an American-owned ship. And the shipping line for whom he worked was owned by the son of President Teddy Roosevelt, Kermit Roosevelt, the United States Lines, and the Roosevelt Lines.
Wow.
Is that sealing it? Is that putting the nail in the coffin or what?
Sure. It sure ties a nice bow around it all, Don. Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing.
Many more facts in the articles. Oh, by the way, the so-called wife, Catherine Davy Vohl, is fictitious as well. And you go to the Arlington National Cemetery website and read all about the dates and the people, when they lived, when they died, when they were born, if you can find that information out, and look at the tombstone at Arlington National Cemetery. Different dates on the tombstone.
Well, I'll tell you this, Don. All of that work definitely supports the current theory about Senator John McCain that's running for our presidency as being really a traitor, because as the senator of Arizona, he has totally failed the people of his state by allowing a rampant invasion of illegals to cross the border without any kind of opposition, any kind of resistance, any kind of check and balance. And so he's into this globalism. No question about it.
By the way, let's add this caveat. Remember what we talked about at the top of the show? We talked about Michael Herzog's issue. That's John McCain's state. He's the senator.
Yes, so true. Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, who knows how deep the collusion's going to intimidate Michael.
Oh, it goes all the way to the top. There's no doubt about that.
Right, I mean, it's clear. It's clear. It's blatant.
Okay.
And prayers are going to be with Michael and his family, for sure.
See,
we have to pray very, very fervently for him and his family to get out of this mess by the grace of the good Lord quickly.
Yes. My point, and this was my point at the beginning, see, we don't know who these people are unless we really look to understand. And then it becomes clear. Doesn't it become clear in real time today why things are the way they are?
That's right, Don. You have to do your study on every topic if you want to really know that topic well. And absolutely, Don, in order to understand why our country is in a terrible mess it's in right now, you have to understand the history, and you know it implicitly, and I know it quite well, and it all makes total sense. And it's the bottom line. We have foreigners running our government, people. They are not Americans. It is our government on paper, but foreigners are running it. And they despise us. They hate us. They want to ruin us. And if you don't see that happening yet around you, then you soon will.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Well, Michael, it's been interesting. I've done a lot of talking tonight. But
Don, it was just great, great to be back on the show and to hear all that and share it with you, because that's astounding. I'm looking forward to seeing it published everywhere, and God willing, more and more Americans are going to read these publications.
Well, the next time you're on, and you're going to be on again, we got a new month coming up here. We're going to continue our discussion of probably some of this, as well as how it ties into Freemasonry, because I know that's a topic dear to your heart and your research and your expertise, and I want you to be able to share a lot of that. I think in light of what everything that's going on today, this was important for us to sort of recap all this. So that
absolutely, Don. This was a lot of great information being exchanged right now on your show, and I feel very fortunate to be privileged to be part of that. And sometime when we have the opportunity, I'll look forward to getting back into it with you, more on the history of our country from other perspectives, because everyone needs to understand and see how the presence of God and his activities is ongoing in the affairs of man, even in our times, even though people say, where's God? I don't see him. You know, why are things the way they are if he was around and all that? And when we get into it, we'll show how God's activity is constant, and we just have to start acknowledging it so we can begin to utilize it more, and we will then be able to harness his powerful light energies and dispel these dark clouds that are enshrouding our nation and closing in.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And, you know, there is a possible silver lining in Michael's case, and this is very ironic. The very people that we've been talking about now, in terms of this bloodline of this fictitious family, the British Embassy is involved in Michael Herzog's case because they're from Scotland. Isn't that ironic?
That is very ironic.
That they may be the ones to affect Megan's release from her illegal, demonic incarceration.
Kidnapping.
Yeah, it's a kidnapping.
It's a kidnapping. Where's the FBI?
Yeah, well,
who are the people responsible for this atrocity, and why aren't they being held accountable?
Well, I'm sure J. Edgar Hoover right about now is rolling over in his grave.
Yes, next to his transsexual partner.
Yeah. Well, you got my meaning.
Yeah, they're all disgusting perverts, soulless beings that have been infiltrating our government for the last 100 years easy.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, Michael. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll have you on again soon. And I want to thank the listening audience out there and ask everyone, please pray for Michael, Lindsay, and Megan Herzog. And in the meantime, we've got Jim Murray coming on. Well, now it's tonight. For some of you, it's tomorrow night, Friday night, or early Saturday morning. We have our regular Friday night guest, Jim Murray. And you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. My special guest tonight, Mr. Michael Anthony. I'm Don Nikoloff. I wish everyone peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.